All right, it's the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to What's Up Lagos! Yes! Well, today I'm going to be solo. I did tell you yesterday that Stretch is, I've sent him. You see, he has found a flower in the garden. He has gone to ask for a woman's hand in marriage. So I let him go. I had to let him go. Visit his wife's people. So Stretch has to come back married. If he's not married, we send him back. I'm kidding. Good morning and welcome to the show. What's up, Lane? Stretch is going to kill me. Anyway, welcome to the show. Of course, as usual, from now till 12 o'clock, we make sure that your morning, your mid-morning, there is no dull moment. I'm Mary Anacone. All right, from as usual, and at the beginning of the show, we start off with a sound off talking about stuff that you obviously know is wrong. Stuff that you're having conversations about. You're even literally ranting about it on your coffee table, in your office, wherever you are. And sometimes you don't get the opportunity to talk about it. So we help you rant about it. We sound off on these things so that the people that are responsible for making sure that there's a turnaround will do so. So once again, good morning, Lagos. All right, it's time for sound off. Well, today we're sounding off on 192.96 billion naira. I'll let you into it. So, the Jigawa State government says it has spent 192 billion dollars in the execution of its maternal and child cash transfer MCCT program from November of 2021 to June of 2022. Dr. Ibrahim Rabakaya, Executive Secretary, Jigawa State Rehabilitation Board, made this known on Wednesday in Kano during a three-day validation of Kaduna State Graduation Youth Focused Social Protection. Now, he said the program was introduced in 2021 based on the successes of cash transfer program that was implemented by the state by a non-governmental organization, Action Against Hunger, AAH. He explained that the MCCT, which was implemented under the Child Development Grant Program, provided the needed evidence about effectiveness of cash transfer in addressing poverty and vulnerability. But he said that they spent 192.96 billion naira on pregnant women and lactating mothers. I'm emphasizing the amount, 192.962 billion. On pregnant mothers and lactating women. How much poverty has been eradicated in Jigawa State? Because I'm curious. These billions, who's tracking? Who's tracing these monies? It's ridiculous when we hear these amounts of monies. Because you see, we're sounding off because I want people to start asking government questions. And when we say government, we're not just talking about the federal government. We're talking about your states. We're talking about members of your House of Representatives. We're talking about your councillors, your chairman. When the government says, we spend so and so money on you, please ask questions. Can they give you evidence, a breakdown? How many people can raise their hands in Jigawa State and say, we collected some monies from that 1.92? Keep your hands down. How many people? We've heard of the cash transfer, conditional cash transfer here across the Federation. How many people till today? I always call out. How many people have received those 5,000 Nairas that they said they were giving? Or the 20,000 since 2021? Or even in 2020, how many people have received these monies? How can we get accountability in this country if we just allow these monies to be bandied all over the media? 192 point plus billion for pregnant mothers and lactating mothers. There are women who have died as a result of the fact that they were unable to get monies to pay for health care. Pregnant women. There are women who are unable to eat, feed well, because you know the truth is they don't have monies. And so their children are also malnourished. Is the Jigawa State government willing to open its books? Yes, with the FOI, let's find out how much money are you putting out there. It's not enough for you to put out these monies. Nigerians need to start asking questions, because the truth is they're going to come back soon and ask you for your votes. We need to know what you do with our monies. It's taxpayers' monies. These government officials don't come into office with their monies, do they? No. It's our money. Why can't we ask questions? It's a joke when I hear these things. 192 point plus million on pregnant women and lactating mothers. We need accountability in this country. And I would really love the Jigawa women to come out and tell me how many of you have received these monies and what did the monies do for you? How has it changed your life? Or are you still wallowing in penury and poverty when the government is saying they have been able to deal with poverty to a certain extent? Well, my sound off here is just calling on people to be responsible. Don't be responsible to yourself alone. Make sure that your leaders are responsible. And that responsibility means asking questions. When they put out these statements and say, we gave people money, find out who's gotten that money. Are people using your name, writing your name, using your identity to collect monies, and those monies never really get to the Nigerians that deserve it? Because they say they're trying to eradicate poverty by giving us 5,000, 20,000. What does it do in today's economy? Ask those questions. And that is Sound Off. It's still the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be talking about the building collapse that happened on the weekend, last weekend on Sunday. We're not just going to talk about, you know, the fact that, the building collapsed, but then, of course, the activities or the things that happened right after that building collapse. Don't forget, there was the major building collapse that claimed several lives. Do you remember it from last year? Perfect. We're going to talk about actionable plans and strategies to dissuade these kinds of, you know, circumstances that lead to the deaths of innocent people. And of course, we're going to look at standard and quality control in buildings. All right, I'm being joined by my guest live from Port Harcourt. AB Bosimo is an architect. He's also in charge of building projects. And today, he's going to be talking to us about standards, of course, proper processes, and of course, the potential problems that come as a result of these building collapses. AB, it's so good to have you join us on the show this morning. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm going to try again to see. Can you hear me? Not if you can hear me. You can hear me. Oh, perfect. Good. All right, I'm going to try to get your audio out. So AB Bosimo is in charge of building projects. He's an architect, actually, by profession. But today, he's going to talk to us about these processes with the little time that we have on this show. All right. AB, good morning. Can you hear me now? AB, can you hear me?
Good morning. Great to be here. Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
Good. AB, I don't want to go through you know, the whole story and how the building collapsed. I'm sure we all heard about it. We all know what happened last year. You and I spoke last year again on this same issue. And here we are in 2022 talking about almost the same thing. So I do not want us to go into, you know, why the building collapsed. Let's talk about what people should know before these buildings are even erected and where the problem is.
First of all, you'll notice that there's been quite a few buildings that have collapsed in Lagos. Mm-hmm. That should tell us two things. One, that there is a lot of development going on there, which is a good thing. And two, perhaps the processes that should precede a construction are not being carried out perfectly. Mm-hmm. Ideally, the design is done based on the client's requirements, the soil type. Lagos is a unique place. It is near the coast. The soils are sometimes sedimentary and other sandy soil. So you need to have special care taken.
Okay. AB, can you hear me? Oh, I think that we lost AB's connection. Well, in case you're just joining us, it's WhatsApp Lagos. For the next 20 minutes, we're going to be talking about building processes and avoiding problems.
Money.
Okay, AB, we lost you for a second there.
Okay. I'm here now. I can hear you.
Okay.
All right. So people are trying to, quote unquote, save money by not getting the right professionals, putting them in place and remunerating them properly. At the end of the day, this kind of risk is what can occur when you don't do the right things with the right people at the right time in the right way.
Hmm.
This recent one, sadly, we've lost six people. Six people should be here with us today planning for their daily bread. We cannot afford this anymore. I just want to say before we break that 99% of buildings do not collapse. So as bad as it is when we lose one person or one building, overall, construction is safe. But of course, when you have one construction, it calls into question a lot of confidence in the system.
Mm.
And that's why we're talking today about the processes and the risks.
Mm. I want to go into, you know how we say that we have standards and standard boards or, you know, agencies of government that should, you know, maintain a standard. But what about the people who are employed to do these jobs? And I'm talking about the fact that you go to every site and everybody's an engineer. Engineer this, engineer that. What about the architects, the building planner, the surveyor, even the masons? Don't they have their own personal standards? Because, you know, people will say, oh, this is what the customer wants and the customer is always right. In this case, should the customer always be right? Especially for people who say there's some blocks that when you touch them, they literally just go back to sand. So again, what happens to us, the person, the professional, who should have a standard?
You are correct. The standards should guide every activity. There are standards in the training of professionals. There are standards in the training of artisans. There are standards of the materials to be used. And there are standards to guide how they are put together. You will find that after a forensic analysis.
Oh, my goodness. I think we lost AB there. 42 minutes gone past the 10 o'clock hour. Still WhatsApp Lagos 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Mary Anacon. And still on the phone with me is architect AB Bozimo. We're talking about standards and processes that need to be undertaken before buildings are erected to avoid, of course, consequences like deaths and building collapses. AB Bozimo was talking to us before we went on that break. AB, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Perfect.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are very audible. Great. So before we went on that break, we were talking about standards for professionals, not necessarily the bodies that are supposed to enforce these standards. What about personal standards for people who work on these building sites?
Totally. There are a variety of standards for all personnel, whether they're the professionals, they're the artisans, even the materials that are brought to sites should meet certain standards. And there are many, many tests that are supposed to be done of the materials. Then, when you bring them to site, they're supposed to be assembled using specific standard processes. You find that building collapses occur when any of those chinks in the armor is removed. And so, a collapse doesn't happen all at once. There are many little things that could go wrong, and then suddenly the structure can no longer bear the load. So, you have to first of all check whether there was something wrong with the design, something wrong with the materials, something wrong with the way of construction. And the way of construction is normally supposed to be overseen by the professionals. If you don't have the professionals properly positioned and remunerated, you run the risks such as what we see.
Mm.
That is a precept about what leads to building collapse. But I'll say again, most things don't collapse. So it's possible for us to isolate what went wrong in this specific case and try to ensure it never happens again.
Okay. Recently, the Commissioner for Physical Planning and Urban Development in Lagos State, Idris Salako, resigned, of course, as this is also coming out after the building collapsed. Now, this is the first of its kind for people to take responsibility for actions or inactions. In this case, some people would not say that it's directly traced to him, but of course he oversees a department that should look into these buildings. I know that for Nigerians, we see buildings marked X, you know, so sometimes those buildings were not approved or were not up to standard. Why do we still see buildings come up and at the end of the day, we see they go up to almost this, you know, the lintel level before we see a big X marked on it? Are there not supposed to be authorities looking out from the moment when you are given a building approved plan, you know, before you even start to dig a foundation? Should there not be people keeping an eye on those buildings before it even gets to the point where it gets to collapse?
Absolutely correct. There should be inspections at every stage. It is scandalous indeed that a building will go up to the first or even the second floor and people will come with an X after the fact. I heard that on this particular project, there was news that the developer was quote unquote hostile to the authorities. That should never be. Mm. We all all of us in this industry worked at the pleasure and with the permission of the authorities. The authorities are there to make sure that we do our various roles properly. Nobody should have more power than the authorities. When you are there for a scheduled inspection, you should be given access as part of the authorities. And when you do the inspection, whatever is found to be at fault, there must be consequences. Yes, it's a first of its kind for the top person to resign, and it's exemplary. Now, apart from him resigning, everybody else in the production process should be inspected for their role and should be punished accordingly. We can never bring the people who died back, but we must ensure that those who are culpable are punished to the extent that the law permits.
How easy do you think it will be to sanitize the building, the urban planning or urban development system in across the country? Because again, I don't have the correct statistics, but so many building collapses have happened, not just in Lagos, but around the country, in Abia, in Rivers. The River State one is still very fresh on my mind. Remember how many people died and you could still smell the stench of dead bodies coming from that site. Exactly. Where do we even start in sanitizing this again? Because, we can talk about how we go about, dealing with other issues in this country and put it side by side with how we want to deal with this issue of building collapses and the loss of lives.
The magic word is consequences. In this case, somebody has lost his job at the top. If that person knows that his job is on the line, he will do everything to ensure that he doesn't risk his job by ensuring the people below him do all the right things. I understand that at a point in Iraq, the Minister of Energy always had a little bag packed so that in case there was ever a power outage, he would go straight to jail, and from jail he would sort it out. If you know that there's a consequence to your job, and if the town planning authorities stop thinking that the X is a way to raise revenue, instead that they're in charge of preemptively controlling development, then they'll stop waiting for buildings to reach the first or second floor before they come in. They would be preemptive. Because consequences, if your salary is docked and if you are held in jail when a building collapses, once you are signed on as one of those responsible for inspecting and something goes wrong, if you lose your liberty, you'll find that people stop enduring sharp practices and everybody will step up. It is possible because each and every one of us, if you go to any other country where there are consequences, we all step up. So it's not about the people, it's about the context.
All right. Well, we want people to join into the conversation. Of course, Lagosians want to be part of this conversation. Architect A.B. Bozimo is on the line with us talking about the recent collapse. And of course, we're looking at regulations, standards, and making sure that people are punished, especially when loss of life is involved in the conversation. 0700-993-993-993 is the number for you to call. That's 0700-993-993-993. And you can call if you're a lady, 01465-7190. You can tweet at Nigeria Info and you can send us a WhatsApp message. We'd like to hear from you. All right. Well, the phone lines are buzzing. Let's go to our first caller. Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos? Good morning. What's your name, sir?
My name is Michael.
Michael, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was calling. I don't know if I'm on the show regarding the building collapse.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so good morning to your guests.
Yeah.
I just wanted to contribute regarding building collapse in Lagos and the authorities checking up on buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also work in this space, and I can say with certainty that the authorities are stretched thin when it comes to monitoring buildings, which is why you always notice is after the building has begun that they then go and do an inspection, not usually before.
Okay.
So authorities are stretched very thing. I'm not defending them in any sense of the word. I'm just saying, Lagos is a very densely populated city. And we need a lot more manpower to monitor buildings and to make sure that things like this do not occur.
All right.
Like your coach said, 99% of buildings don't collapse. It'll be one-offs that happen and, unfortunate. All right. That's my contribution.
Thank you very much, Michael. So AB, he's saying that, you know, they don't have enough manpower to oversee or inspect these buildings, and that's why most of the time it's medicine after death, just like we see every other time there's a building collapse.
Isn't it ironic that we're in a country that has an employment problem and we say we don't have enough manpower, there is something missing? From the permits alone, we can raise the revenues that will ensure we have enough manpower as and when necessary. I don't think we can use that excuse anymore and cost lives. From a single building permit, the process should generate the money to pay those who will be involved. They don't have to be full-time staff. All the authorities can coordinate with the professional bodies and have professionals come in and objectively inspect and assess. We're not there to see aesthetics or methodology or cost, but process. We have enough people, the process can generate the money, and we can be safer. We cannot excuse ourselves anymore.
Let's go back to the phone lines. More people calling in. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Sorry about that. If that was you, please call us back. Hello, good morning. Everybody's calling. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Oh, dear. Okay. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello. What's up, Lagos?
What's up? Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Mike, I'm calling from Sengote, though.
Okay, second Mike.
The last caller, that is not an excuse, just like your guest has said. If the government have been proactive enough to make sure that those who genuinely apply for approvals are given, and there is a monitoring in place, they won't. I'm also in the industry. I'll tell you, for instance, for the past 3-4 years, we've been pursuing approval. All the necessary payments have been made. Penalties have been paid. As I speak, it's not been done, number one. Number two, the so-called officers employed are not really working for safety. They are working to make money. From the top to the down, how many of they don't these days in Lagos State? I want to tell you, we have architects at who take up building. I said they are engineers. We have QS who take up a construction project.
And there is no nobody to check all of these things?
Yeah, they are not checking. Look at quality of blocks and materials. Nobody. They are just to collect money and go. That's the issue. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you, Mike, for calling. Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up? Good morning, Utali. Go ahead,
greet
please.
I greet Yvonne, let me start for two-story building. If you want to do a three-story building, you use 2 inches iron. Brace it 3 feet high. 12 inches wide.
Wait, hold on. Are you a building professional?
My uncle is an architect and a builder. I know what I'm saying.
You are not the architect. Neither are you the builder. This is radio. You can't just come and tell people
you're not an expert. Okay. Now, when you now want to do decking, you measure the one pillar there under the bottom of the...
You're still not getting me. You can't come on air and start giving these guys... because you're not a professional. You can't. It's not allowed. And this is what we're still talking about. Standards have to be observed. You just can't say, oh, my uncle is a doctor or my auntie is a nurse, so I know what to do. It doesn't work that way. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Apologies. Do call us back. 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. If you're a lady and you want to join the conversation, call 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190. You can send us a WhatsApp message on 08095795805. I beg your pardon. Join the conversation. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?